Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Israeli Air Force today attacked Palestinian bases in Lebanon in great strength, pounding a whole series of targets, including some in the Lebanese capital. Bruno Wassertal reports from Jerusalem.
Israeli warplanes hit 2 8-story buildings in the heart of Beirut, but the Israelis say housed the command center of Yasser Arafat's El Fatah guerrilla group, the largest of the organizations within the PLO, and the headquarters of the radical Popular Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Israeli jets also bombarded targets in the southern part of Lebanon, reportedly including one of the country's largest oil depots. During the night, Israeli gunboats lobbed shells on Lebanese coastal targets believed to be inhabited by Palestinian guerrillas. Israel has now formally given notice that it will no longer avoid blasting Palestinian military or administrative objectives that have been deliberately placed next to civilian population centers. Meanwhile, Palestinian gunners in southern Lebanon have not been idle and have raked northern Israel with artillery and rocket fire. One of the rockets hit the general hospital in the northern Israeli resort town of Nahariya, where 3 Israeli civilians were killed in a rocket attack on Wednesday. Bruno Wassertal, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The Reagan administration today is expected to announce that it will proceed with the delivery to Israel of 10 more F-16 fighter bombers. And we'll hear about that from CBS News diplomatic correspondent Robert Pierpoint.
Although Secretary of State Alexander Haig said as late as yesterday afternoon that no decision had been made formally by the president, the fact is it would come as a great shock to members of Congress, as well as many others in this town, if Mr. Reagan canceled the deal. In fact, several congressmen have indicated publicly, and even more members in private, that they believe the decision to proceed with the deliveries of the aircraft was actually made many days ago, shortly after the Israeli raid that destroyed Iraq's nuclear reactor. The Israelis themselves complicated President Reagan's problem somewhat by again using American-built planes to bomb southern Lebanon several times recently, but not even this is expected to persuade the president he could defy the powerful Israeli lobby without encountering serious political problems. So, both the 6 planes due to be turned over today and the 4 planes that have been held pending review of their possible misuse are expected to be on their way to Israel very shortly. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the State Department.
Alan Pizzi, reporting from the Syrian capital, Damascus, tells us that if the F-16s are delivered, that is sure to worsen relations between Syria and the United States.
American arms sales to Israel are seen here as proof that Washington approves of Tel Aviv's policy of strikes into southern Lebanon. Continued use of American-made planes to attack Palestinian and other targets in Lebanon means that Syria, as a self-proclaimed leader of the Arab side of the confrontation with Israel, could well become directly involved in the fighting. Syria is committed to supporting the Palestinian cause. Some 30,000 Syrian troops are in Lebanon as a buffer between leftist militias and Israeli-backed right-wing Christians. There have already been several dogfights between Syrian and Israeli jets, which the Syrians lost. The occasional loss of a plane is accepted by Damascus, which most observers here feel does not want open war with Israel. But if the Israeli attacks continue and Syrian troops are killed, escalation of the conflict may be hard to avoid. Alan Tizzi, CBS News, Damascus.
I was minding my 5-year-old nephew the other evening, instead of my own business, when all of a sudden he toddles in with his piggy bank and he asks me whether I'd like to make a deposit. I told him he'd be hard-pressed to beat the way Crocker Bank was handling my money. Crocker has, for instance, more automated tellers up and down California than any other bank. I asked if he could beat that, and he said no, he stayed pretty close to the Wee Willie Winkie Play School. Then I brought up the Crocker banking card and how a person could use it for instant identification at any of Crocker's hundreds of offices. So he handed me his Wonder Weasel fan club ID. Then I mentioned Crocker's extended business hours, but since it was already way past his bedtime, I had to concede he more than matched Crocker for working late. At this point, he threatened to tell his mother I had allowed him to stay up to watch Earth vs. Eggplant Part 2, so I gave him $3 and change, a glass of milk, and read him the story about the old woman and the bottled water salesman.
Crocker Bank, doing more for your business. Member FDIC.
Poland's Communist Party Congress has now chosen a 200-man Central Committee, doing it by secret ballot. Later on, either today or tomorrow, the party is expected to choose its leader, also by secret ballot. And the incumbent, Stanislav Konya, may face a strong challenge. Gordon Joselov reports the view of all this in Moscow.
Soviet media have taken a cautious, selective approach in reporting the Polish Party Congress. There's been no mention that the meeting broke socialist bloc tradition by deciding to elect the next party leader through a secret ballot. Nor has it been reported here that the Congress voted to expel from the party former party leader Edward Gierek. Some media accounts have indicated renewed Kremlin anxiety over the Congress. Izvestia, in its latest account of the meeting, noted that some of the speeches were of a revisionist nature. In communist terminology, revisionism is one of the most serious charges that can be made against fellow communists. It means an attempt to revise the tenets of Marxism-Leninism, often along capitalist lines. Revisionism was a charge leveled by the Soviets against Hungarians and Czechoslovaks before a Soviet military intervention in their countries in 1956 and 1968. Gordon Joselov, CBS News, Moscow.
The Senate resumes debate today on tax cut legislation favored by President Reagan. Yesterday, though, by a vote of 57 to 40, it inserted a provision that Mr. Reagan would have preferred to see excluded: indexing or adjusting tax rates in line with inflation commencing in 1985. The aim is to keep taxpayers from being pushed into higher tax brackets without any real increase in buying power. Republican Senator William Armstrong of Colorado, sponsor of the provision, describes that process as bracket creep.
I was relaxing at home one day, minding my own business, when my nephew, the stockbroker, dropped by. This is typical. I mean, I was always first in line at his lemonade stand when he was six. But this time, he wanted me to invest $10,000 in money market funds. And blood is not thicker than $10,000. I told him I felt my $10,000 investment in one of Crocker Bank's market yield certificates of deposit was far superior, unlike the quality of his lemonade. Because one, Crocker's interest rate doesn't vary once you invest. His money market funds do. And two, because Crocker's certificates of deposit are insured, money market funds aren't. He then pointed out that the federal government prohibits compounding of interest and there's a substantial interest penalty for early withdrawal. Why withdraw funds that are earning such high interest, I asked him. Well, we still had time for some tea without lemon and some conversation, and then he was off to try and find someone who'd never heard of Crocker Bank.
Crocker Bank, doing more for your business. Member FDIC.
Britain's new Social Democratic Party has made a dramatic debut at the polls. It happened in a parliamentary by-election at the English city of Warrington, and Dan Revive reports the view of it in London.
Political observers here are talking about a breakthrough, a sensation, and the Social Democrats did not even win the special election in Warrington. Social Democrat Roy Jenkins, one of the founders of the party, came in second, but he got 42% of the votes, more, said Jenkins, than his highest expectation. The Labour Party won the Warrington seat, as it usually does, but Labour's Douglas Hoyle received only 48% of the votes, down from 62% for the Labour winner 2 years ago. Prime Minister Thatcher's Conservative Party received just 7% yesterday, down from 29% in the last election. Warrington, a small city in northwest England, is not representative of the entire country, but these occasional by-elections to fill vacant seats are closely watched here in Britain, and the general conclusion is that the Social Democratic Party, only 4 months old, already has the potential to push aside both Labour and the Conservatives. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
In Northern Ireland today, an International Red Cross team paid another visit to May's prison near Belfast, where John Blackstone has details.
The three Red Cross members returned to the May's prison this morning. They spent 4 hours touring the prison yesterday, but did not meet the hunger strikers or any other prisoners. The Red Cross members are expected to spend 4 to 7 days in Northern Ireland. In that time, however, one or two more hunger strikers could easily die. Kieran Doherty is on his 57th day without food. He has already been given last rites. Another prisoner, Kevin Lynch, is in his 56th day without food. The International Committee of the Red Cross can, in emergency situations, make a verbal report to the government concerned, and it's expected to do that here. The committee will not, however, report to the prisoners, and it does not normally make its reports public. The British government, however, has stated it wants the report on Northern Ireland prisons to be published. The government clearly hopes the Red Cross will have few criticisms. The families of the hunger strikers have asked for a meeting with the Red Cross team. They want the members to urge the British government to start direct talks with the hunger strikers. John Blackstone, CBS News, Belfast.
The sun goes down, the moon comes up, and a Datsun pickup goes on and on.
Have a Datsun, it's good for you. Have a Datsun, it's good for you.
Datsun trucks keep going good, 'cause Datsun's driven to build them good. With rib steel beds and ladder chassis like the big rigs. They're tough too. Over three-quarters of all Datsun pickups 8 years old or older are still on the job. With endurance like that, it's no surprise more truckers drive Datsuns than any other compact pickups. Standards, long beds, king cabs, five speeds, automatics, sports, and 4x4s. 14 choices in all. And all are very good for you.
Datsun.
We'll get the latest now on efforts to end the baseball strike. Jerry Landay has the story in New York.
It appears the baseball talks, 5 weeks old and completely stalled, will now be headed for Washington after both sides failed to heed Labor Secretary Raymond Donovan's exhortation to get them moving in New York. The talks foundered over that key sticking point, the owners' demand for compensation for free agents lost to other clubs. And a new problem, the owners want to subtract at least 35 strike days from the amount of service time accredited to major league players. Accrediting time is used to determine players' pensions and their free agent status. The players rejected that idea on the spot yesterday, then went on to challenge the owners to submit all their differences to binding arbitration. In exchange, the players said they'd be willing to play ball at once while the arbitrators arbitrated. Only hours later, in a written statement, the owners turned that one down flatly. A public relations ploy, said owners bargainer Ray Grebe, not appropriate and unacceptable. Players negotiator Marvin Miller was asked why the players opted for binding arbitration after having turned down the idea some weeks ago. That was then, he said, and this is now. Federal mediator Kenneth Moffitt said he'll now consult with Labor Secretary Donovan about bringing the talks to Washington. Jerry Landay, CBS News, New York.
Officials in China's most populous province, Sichuan, report that 3,000 people have lost their lives in a catastrophic flood and 400,000 are homeless. The dollar bounced back today overseas after a brief slump, and gold is on the downside. The price was fixed in London at $414.50 an ounce, off around 4.
CBS News, Palestinians claim more than 100 dead in Israeli raids on Lebanon. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS radio network. The Palestine News Agency says 123 people were killed and more than 500 wounded in heavy Israeli air raids in Beirut and southern Lebanon today. It was the first strike against Beirut proper in more than 3 years. The Israelis say the headquarters of the PLO was one target, and there are reports it was damaged. But eyewitnesses say apartment buildings were flattened also, including one 9-story building. Beirut hospitals issued urgent calls for blood donors. The assault was widespread, ranging far south of the Lebanese capital, as Larry Pintak recounts.
At about the same time that the Israelis were hitting Beirut, they were shelling all along the coast. Israeli jet fighters struck again on the main road between Beirut and the south of the country. This time they hit just south of the town of Sidon. They completely destroyed the road. It was on a hill along the coastline. It's gone. It's just not there anymore. It and the railway tracks have been completely destroyed. The few cars that were on that part of the road when they hit are just piles of twisted metal now.
There were fresh raids further in the south later in the day. Bruno Wassertile has that story from Jerusalem.
The military command said that in the latest airstrikes, Israeli jets bombed 3 bridges over the Zahrani and Litani rivers. The bridges had already been partially destroyed in yesterday's air attacks, and today's mission was probably meant to make sure that they would not be rebuilt to carry Palestinian guerrillas and military hardware to Lebanon's southland within striking distance of the Israeli border.
An Army spokesman also announced that a flight of Israeli planes destroyed the southern regional headquarters of the El Fatah guerrilla organization near the Lebanese port city of Tyre. Bruno Wassertal, CBS News, Jerusalem.
It was widely believed that the Reagan administration would announce today its decision to renew shipments of F-16 fighters to Israel, the shipments suspended after the Baghdad raids in June. More news after this.
Let a three-time Indy 500 winner and current national driving champion tell you why he asks for Pennzoil motor oil.
Hi, I'm Johnny Rutherford. We use Pennzoil in the race car for top engine protection at high speeds. But in my own car, I want engine protection plus good gas mileage. That's why I'm more of a Pennzoil fan now than ever. Because Pennzoil does save gasoline.
Johnny's right. You see, Pennzoil saves gasoline because it helps an engine run easier. And as you know, the easier an engine runs, the less gasoline it drinks up. Trust three-time Indy 500 winner Johnny Rutherford. He knows. He asks for gas-saving Pennzoil. Quality in every extra mile. Available in 10W30 and 10W40.
America has asked for Pennzoil since America learned to drive. Pennzoil, he asked for motor oil. Pennzoil.
Mobil Oil made its move toward Conoco today, offering to buy 51% of Conoco shares for $90 a share cash and the remainder for Mobil stock worth about the same amount. The Mobil bid is somewhat larger than either Seagram's or DuPont's. A Conoco spokesman says the Mobil bid raises some antitrust questions. The medfly battle in California finally is getting into gear after a slow start. Five helicopters were in the air during the night, but there are reports the spraying, still behind its schedule, may have begun too late to corral the infestation. Poland's Special Party Congress has elected a 200-man central committee by secret ballot, and they'll use the same method to elect a new party chief. Observers believe the current leader, Kania, has a good chance of getting reelected. Outside the Congress Hall in Warsaw, some 40,000 dock workers on the Baltic are threatening a strike for next Thursday to reemphasize demands for better working conditions. More news after this.
Here at Fire Station Number 3, between fighting fires, we play a lot of checkers and drink a lot of coffee. So our coffee's Cava Instant.
Your move, Hogan.
Full-flavored Cava's the only 90% acid-neutralized coffee. And with less acidity, no matter how much we drink, we still feel good.
Oh, nice move, Hogan.
In fact, we drink enough Cava to put out a fire.
Uh-oh, I think I'm in trouble.
Saved by the bell. Cava, all the taste you want in coffee without all the acidity.
Looks like you're all ready for some weekend fun in the sun. Lotion, volleyball, radio, and your big towel with the hula dancers on it. So give yourself a break and treat yourself to a delicious McDonald's Egg McMuffin. A fresh egg, lean Canadian bacon, and melted cheese on a toasted buttered English muffin. It's a great way to start your weekend fun.
Every weekend we do it. Can do it.
Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's.
A British soldier wounded by IRA gunmen last night died early today. Gavin Dean, a 21-year-old Lance Corporal, became the 344th British soldier to be killed in Northern Ireland since August 1969. And the new edition of Jane's Fighting Ship says today the United States has a 1.5-ocean navy striving to carry out a 3-ocean job. The authoritative British publication says the Soviets are continuing to build dozens of modern vessels. On Wall Street after an hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead, the index up 1.14. Reed Collins, CBS News.